Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Welcome to Kingdom Pursuits, Christmas Eve. How many Eves we got before Christmas? Let's see. Sunday, then Monday, then Christmas, right, Bill?
Right. Yeah.
All right. Three. Edition of Kingdom Pursuits. So today, very exciting. All the way from San Antonio, Texas, am I right?
Close enough. Bernie, just a few miles north of San Antonio.
Bernie.
Yeah.
I never heard of Bernie, Texas. So I'm learning something today. Dan Pratt and his son, Bill, are with us. He is the author of Tears on the Church House Floor. But my father used to own a dealership in Georgetown, Texas. Actually, I was part owner of it, which is just north of Austin.
Okay.
You hadn't heard of that one?
No.
So you can see, San Antonio is just south of Austin, so you would think that we would have known of each other's cities. But anyway, how did God reach out to you to say, wow, Bill, Dan, you could write a book?
Well, the book, Tears on the Church House Floor, is about a very dramatic time in our lives. We lost a grandson, a mother, and a beloved pet, a 16-year-old Labrador, all in the span of exactly 1 year. And it was a period of grief and unexpected grief. And we were going through it, and God reached out to me in a special way, in a personal way, and said, basically, I'm not going to pass you by now. I've always been with you. And he took me back to a time in my life that happened 50 years before. And that's where the book sort of takes off and starts and shows me through my story. I try to let the reader know that God's always there for him. And that's what stirred me to write the book.
And this book, by the way, has a foreword by Max Lucado. Yeah. I'm sure many people, including myself, one of my favorite authors. So pretty exciting. We're going to hear a lot more from Dan and his son, Bill. Welcome, Bill.
Oh, yes. Welcome.
Bill, is this your first time out of state, or did you come east often?
First time out of state.
That is wonderful. Yeah. We are so glad that one of the places you chose to join us here at the Truth Network this Christmas season. Also today, we have Tanya and her daughter, Becca Hart, H-A-R-T. You would think it might be H-E, but anyway, they have True Heart. You're going to love that. True Heart Farms. And you guys had a big Christmas event on December 8th that we originally scheduled you to do, but then you guys got ill, and so we're having you on now to talk about True Heart Farms.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
So isn't it kind of cool, don't you think, that we have Tears on the Church House Floor and True Heart Farms on the same show? I mean, it just sounds like a country Christmas to them. You know what I'm saying? And so speaking of Christmas, which I'm guessing we don't have any music. We're struggling today with a computer. So we're just going to have to go without my music, but that's okay. Speaking of Christmas, I don't know if you guys have heard this story, but there was this woman who had helped this homeless man, and she had sort of a homeless meltdown. I don't know if you heard about this, but she said, I just need to vent. I've had enough. I'll never help anyone ever again. I'm too kind-hearted or just stupid. The other day, I was so cold out. It was so cold, I took a man into my home out of the kindness out of my heart. I felt so sorry for him. Poor thing, look, about froze out there in the cold. He couldn't even talk or move. But the next morning, he just vanished. Not a word, not a goodbye, or even a thank you for sheltering him. The last straw was when I realized that he'd went all over the floor. What a mess. That's the thanks I get for being good to people. That's just heartbreaking. But so she put out this warning. I want to warn my friends to watch out for this man. He's heavy set, wearing nothing but a scarf and a hat. He has a nose that looks a bit like a carrot and two black eyes. His arms are so skinny that they look like sticks. Don't bring him into your house. He'll make a huge mess on the floor and then he'll disappear. Maybe you figured that out. Maybe you didn't. But here's some more Christmas riddles for you. Why was the woman visited at Christmas by a jolly bearded fellow with a big bag over his shoulder? This was actually sent in to me by a listener. Why was the woman visited at Christmas by a jolly bearded fellow with a big bag over her shoulder, over his shoulder? It was her son coming home from college with his laundry. You might wonder about that. How about this one, Bill? How did Jesus, how did Mary and Joseph know that Jesus weighed 4.2 kilograms?
Ooh.
Because away in a manger.
Oh, yeah. He went way in a manger, far, far away to the next galaxy.
So with all that said, we actually have a riddle. We don't have music, but we have a riddle. And so here's our riddle. Who attended the first Christmas staff meeting? You could say these guys were all outstanding in their field. Who attended the first Christmas staff meeting? You could say all these guys were outstanding in their field. And if they can guess that, Rachel, tell them what they'll win. Oh, her mic doesn't work either. There we go. We have a buzz. We don't have...
Oh, here we are. All right. Well, if they call in, they will win a book from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault.
There you go. So, we're hoping All right, we already have callers calling in at 866-348-7884. You can call in and win. Who attended the first Christmas staff meeting? You could say these guys were all outstanding in their field. 866-348-7884. Do we have some extra books, Dan?
Yes.
All right, they can win tears on the church house floor. All you got to do is call in 866-348-7884. So, Tanya, how long have y'all been out there at True Heart Farms?
We've been there about 4 years now.
Oh, wow. So it's pretty new.
Pretty new.
How exciting. How many acres do you have?
We have 12 acres.
It's in Davie County, am I right?
Yes, in Advance, North Carolina.
So when people say Advance, you know immediately they're from Davie County because the rest of us would say Advance.
That's true.
Especially if you're from Texas.
Yeah, if you're from Texas and you read that. And you know, my daughter went to V-I-E-N-N-A Elementary School, right? Now, being from Texas, how would you pronounce that?
V-I-E-A-N-N-A. Vienna?
Vienna, right. Like a sausage. Vienna sausage. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No. I was told here was my first grade daughter telling me, no, Daddy, it's Vienna. Mm-hmm. Vienna. It's not Vienna. Those people up there in Austria had no clue how to name their city. Mm-mm. It's
Vienna sausage.
And so in Advance, which I happen to know, having spent a lot of time in Davie County, a lot of people think Hills Day is Advance, but it's not.
Right.
So when you say you're in Advance, are you down south of Hillsdale?
Yeah, we're right off Cornancer.
Oh, good. So you really are.
Really are Advance.
And so when people find out that they want to, Do you stable horses there, or you just have?
What we do is we teach riding lessons. We do competitive riding as well. We also have lots of farm animals for the children to enjoy. We have llamas, chickens, rabbits, potbelly pigs, miniature horses,
goats,
baby goats. So we have a lot for the children to enjoy.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be finding out more about True Heart Farms, which is pretty cool to have a True Heart. But Dan, you know, how do you know Max Lucado? I mean, how did you get this forward? I mean, that's impressive. My immediate thing was like, wow, you know, I get a lot of authors on here, but aren't many of them that get a forward from Max Lucado. So I can hear the music. That means we're going to hear about that when we come back from the break. At least I finally am hearing music or an intro or something from our computer. We're alive and well here at the Truth Network. Meanwhile, you need to call in and tell us, come on, you know the answer to this. The first staff meeting, come on. You could say these guys were all outstanding in their meet. It was a Christmas staff meeting. 866-348-7884. I'll give you a hint. It was about 2,000 years ago, just saying. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. I'm so glad to actually hear my music today in some form. I don't actually know when. But anyway, We are so blessed today to have with us Dan Pratt. He is the author of Tears on the Church House Floor, which I found out all sorts of interesting stuff at the break that we're going to find out about them, and Tanya Hart and her daughter Becca with True Heart Farms in Advance, North Carolina. And for those of you who are still saying, Robbie, I live in Raleigh. I live in Charlotte. I have no idea where you're talking about. Davie County, are you kidding me? Well, let me just share, okay? If you go west of Winston-Salem, the next county over from Forsyth County is Davie County. And the heart of that is Moxville, beautiful downtown Moxville, where my dealership was. So that's kind of near and dear to my heart. And if you go to the south on 601, you will end up in Advance. And if you turn on Cornazzo Road, apparently you're going to find True Heart Farms.
Yes.
Where they have English writing lessons. So what is the difference between American and and English?
I'm going to let Becca answer that one.
So the difference is, for most people, the obvious difference is that we don't ride with a horned saddle. So we have to actually use our legs and hold on to that horse.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah. The saddles are significantly different.
The saddle is very different, much smaller. Doesn't have the horn. And
so what do you do when another horse pulls out in front of you? What do you push?
I don't know. My go-to word is just whoa.
Yeah, whoa, horse.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's cool. Well, I am shocked. I am personally shocked on my riddle. I thought it was the easiest riddle I've ever written. But let me just say it one more time, okay? The idea is, think Luke chapter 2, okay, with me just for a minute. Just think. Hopefully you're thinking that all through this season. Who attended the first Christmas? And we're talking about the first Christmas staff meeting. You could say these guys were all outstanding in their field. 866-348-7884 is the number to call in and win. I know you're out there in the hustle and bustle, but you got plenty of time. You got a cell phone. 866-348-7884. You're going to win this book with, again, the forewords by Max Lucado, Tears on the Church House Floor. 866-348-7884. Right before we went to the break, I asked the question, how in the world do you get Max Lucado to write your foreword? I think I have a pretty good idea how that happened.
Well, we moved to San Antonio about 16 years ago. I got a call one day from a consultant friend of mine. I'm in the engineering business, and Lou offered me a job in New Jersey. And I said, well, Lou, I don't really fit New Jersey. Listen to me talk. and he called back about 3 or 4 weeks later, and he said, well, how about an opportunity in San Antonio, Texas? And I said, I'll call you back. And I went to my bookshelf, and I thought, now, that's where Max preaches, I believe. And so I looked it up, and yes, he was at the Oak Hills Church. So we went to San Antonio to become involved in heavy industrial engineering construction business, but actually we went there to become part of the Oak Hills Church. And that happened about 16 years ago. I've been an elder in that church for over 12 years now and teach a Bible class there called Mountain Climbers.
Good morning, mountain climbers.
Yeah, there's Bill. He's sharing. Well, tell us about that.
There's about 50 or 60 some odd people that go to the mountain climbers, and it's quite a hoot.
Are you one of them, Bill?
Yes.
Oh, well, I don't blame you.
Yes, I'm very popular. Yes, you could sit there and ask me a bunch of questions about the Bible, and I could probably answer them one by one.
Oh, we're going to ask him in a minute.
Oh, you know, okay.
Just so we're excited about this. So,
Bill's right. He is very popular in Bernie, Texas, as well as in the mountain climbers. But I became an elder at the church at Oak Hills about 12 years ago, and Max was a senior minister. And Max is a friend of mine. As you noted, he's world famous. You go anywhere and you talk about Christian books, people know Max. He's also a very humble fellow. He's a good friend of mine and a very humble man and just a profound, prolific Bible teacher. And so I asked him, I sat down one Saturday at my computer. I said, look, I know you're extremely busy. You've got so much to do. I sent him a copy of the manuscript, and he came back on Monday and said, I'd be glad to write a forward. So that's how that story unfolded.
Now, there's something really profound in what you just shared, I think, that I don't want to miss. And I've met Max at the National Religious Broadcaster Convention. I hadn't had a chance to spend the time with him that you have, but I certainly have spent time in his writing. But there's this line in the beginning of the Gospel of John that I never can get away from, and I think it's so meaningful. It says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Well, grace in Robbie's world is favor. And so when I'm in Jesus' presence, I'm his favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know, like Bill's his favorite, I can guarantee it, the mountain climbers.
Yeah.
And the real, really, really, really godly people that I have met in my life, when I was in their presence, I felt like I was their favorite. Mm. And you said humility, that's part of it, but it's actually something else. It's like, wow, this guy really appreciates me. This guy really wants to know me. Here, this is Max Lucado, and he's interested in me. And you feel like, wow, it's genuine, and it's called grace, right?
Right. You know, we're supposed to be made in the image of God and supposed to be Christ-like. That's what I think Christ was like. He heard what other people had to say. He looked at people that most people wouldn't have anything to do with and said, you're my favorite.
And that's the point. That's what I'm trying to say, is that if we feel that from someone like Max Lucado, can you imagine what it's going to be like to be in Jesus' presence and you know that you're absolutely 100% his favorite? And speaking of my favorites, right now I got four favorites because four people called in with the answer to my riddle. So I got Rodney and Doris and David and Angela. And so first let me say, you all may have the same answer, so don't just hang up because I'm so grateful that you would call. We're going to have to go out to Dan's trunk and get more books. I'm sure he doesn't mind, but he wants you all to have one, don't you, Dan?
Absolutely.
Because they're your favorites too, because they know about these guys outstanding in their field. So please don't hang up. We want to get to you all, but first off, because he was the first one to call in, we have Rodney. And Rodney, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am absolutely blessed in so many different ways. Here we are so close to Christmas, and I have you on the line with me and all these wonderful guests. And so I really enjoy this riddle. Do you know about the first Christmas staff meeting?
Well, I'm going to do it in Jeopardy form and say, who are the shepherds?
They were outstanding in their field, weren't they? They were. That was just awesome, Rodney. So what part of that story, since I got you on the phone, just lights up your world?
The fact that those who knew nothing other than believed were the ones that came, all the ones that were stuck in their rut doing their religious acts and the ones that were supposed to know everything, they missed it all. And the ones that were least amongst us were the ones that were there. They were the ones that were coming to see Jesus and pay their homage to the glory of the Father, Son, and I think that's just incredible.
Yeah, and the thing that really occurred to me this morning, actually, I wrote a whole article on the 23rd Psalm as I was getting ready for the Christian Car Guy show this morning, is it kind of gives us an idea how much God loves animals. That he knew these guys loved these sheep. And it was a way that he could look into their hearts like he could look into King David's heart and see that these, you know, that they would love these animals well, that they would love his people well. I am so grateful that you brought that up, Rodney. I think it's absolutely amazing. Hang on, we're going to get your information so we can get you the book, okay?
All right, God bless.
God bless. Thank you so much for calling in today. We have Doris is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Doris, we lost Doris. But hopefully we didn't lose David, who was in Greensboro. David, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I am excited to hear about your answer because, you know, a lot of times my listeners are way smarter than me.
Well, my answer was I had to really earn it because just as I realized what the answer had to be, I'm riding on the highway, my phone went out and I couldn't dial it. I couldn't dial you back for about 2 miles. And I was like, oh, no, I want to be able to answer that. So I really struggled to get that answer, but I knew it was the shepherd.
It is. And when you've considered the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2 this year, what part of that story just lights up your world that you just think, oh, man?
Well, first of all, that God loves us so much that not only does he do for us, but it's so good that he has to let us know what he's going to do for us.
I love that.
To give us that foreword, that pre-word to let us know, hey, you're not by yourself. I'm here for you, and I want the best for you, and I enjoy you that much. And here's a situation where I love you so much, and I want you back with me so much that I have a plan to do it, and I'm going to let you know what the plan is. And to have I grew up in the AME Zion, the African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church, and we believed in pomp and circumstance. And to have the pomp and circumstance that the whole heavenly host,
yeah,
that the king,
don't
the
you
king
hope we get to see that in instant replay?
Oh, it's just awesome. It's just awesome. And how the shepherds must have felt, minding their own business, living their lives, and then to be thrust into a majestic, extraordinary instance that no one had ever, they might have heard of it in stories of the old prophets, but not at this magnitude.
They got to go see God. I mean, really, think about it. That's how awesome it is. David, thank you for calling in. I've got one more Riddler on the line. We're going to get to her in a minute. We're going to hear so much more about Cheers on the Church House Floor. And if you were thinking about riding English style instead of American, we have got the answer for you to do today on True Heart Farms. So stay tuned. So much more Kingdom Pursuits. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And oh my, I just am blown away that what I found out on the break about True Heart Farms, it just touches me. What a Christmas present just to find out about the story that's behind True Heart Farms. But Tanya, this has been a journey for your family. Similar to the journey that led to the tears on the church house floor,
sure.
as your daughter had some issues that led for animals were a big part of that. So when I happened to mention that people that love animals, I hadn't realized the significance of that.
Yes. When Becca was 12 years old, she had heart surgery and she was just really struggling. And we took her to ride horses one day. And even though she was weak and really pale, when she sat on a horse, she pinked up, and it just became a passion for her, and it was a great distraction from what she was dealing with. So she would ride four times a week, and she just fell in love with horses, and everything was horses. She went on to win a world championship doing it, and it just became a ministry for us, using animals for children that had challenges, or really for anyone. You don't necessarily have to have a challenge to love your horses,
yeah.
So or love your animals. So that's how our journey started. And then True Heart Farm began out of that love and ministry for animals and for children.
And Becca, you actually have a service dog.
I do have a service dog. His name is Savior, and he's a Great Pyrenees.
Oh, well, that's a well, the sheep are safe. Yeah. I can tell
yes.
you that when you have one of those around.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, and what does that service dog do for you?
So he's an alert dog. So that means that if my heart is beating incorrectly, or he thinks that I'm going to get sick or pass out, or that I need any assistance of any kind, he's able to help with that. So he can alert to those things. He can open doors, pick up things.
And so animals have played a gigantic role. And this is not your first service dog.
No, this is not my first service dog. My first service dog was a greyhound, and he was the first dog in the USA to be able to detect irregular heartbeat just by hearing. So he did it all naturally. So that was definitely a God thing.
Wow. 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 And so I am just kind of blown away at the beginnings of what God has done through True Heart Farms. But as you're sitting here, Dan, I'm sure you see, as I do, you know, I teach special ministries at Calvary. So we work with a lot of folks with all sorts of interesting things. But one of the great things they do, people with Down syndrome and autism, is they love to go ride horses. Because, you know, that I loved what Tanya said. It pinked her up.
Mm-hmm.
that there's just some harmony or some shalom, I guess, that happens as a result of interface with animals. Do you see that with Bill as well?
Yes, we just rescued a Kentucky Walker coon dog. Our son saw him in a kennel here in North Carolina, and we live in Texas, and Josh called and said, you know, this is a really sweet dog. And she weighed 46 pounds. You could see every rib in her body, you know. And now, thanks to Bill, she weighs about 65, 70 pounds. he feeds her generously twice a day. But Bill has a special, and all our family are close to our dogs. And,
but I would love to hear Bill's take on, what's the name of the dog, Bill?
Mabel Ann.
Mabel Ann.
Yes. And she loves to go on afternoon, evening walks through the neighborhood where we live in Boerne, Texas.
And how long do you take Mabel Ann for a walk, Bill?
About 2 or 3 hours a day.
Wow. Mabel Ann has got the life, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Wow, that is more than amazing. Well, we have Angela is in Burlington. I didn't want to miss out on her. She also has an answer about these staff meeting that we were talking about. Angela, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning, Robbie.
Thank you for hanging on. Go ahead.
First thing I'd like to say is absolutely amazing that a dog can detect an irregular heartbeat just through his hearing. That is amazing.
Yeah,
hello?
Yeah. It is amazing. And what they're using service dogs for these days is really absolutely remarkable. But I think as True Heart Farms is bringing out, that animals have got all sorts of solutions for the human race.
They do.
So, Angela, who are these characters out there in the field with these staff meetings?
Okay, that first Christmas staff meeting, it was the shepherd.
And I know this is your first Christmas without your mom.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, what part of the Christmas story is lighting up your world this year, Angela?
That's hard to say, Robbie. The entire story is just so special.
And you might be wondering, how does Robbie know that Angela lost her mom just recently? Well, actually, last Saturday, I think it was. You know, Angela has been a very, very, very faithful listener for years and years and years and years. And she lives in Burlington. And we've talked many times. And she's also a faithful listener to Peter Rosenberger's show, Help for the Caregiver, because she was a caregiver for her mother for all those years. And one time she called in, and Peter and I made her promise that she would write herself a greeting card, because sometimes caretakers lose their identity. So Angela called me Saturday to tell me that she'd lost her mother. So as I reflect on all that for me, Angela, the go and tell part of what the shepherds did.
Mm-hmm.
Is that life is meant to be shared, the good stuff and the bad stuff. And I was honored, as I would always be honored, by anybody who wants to call me to share something with me that's going on in their life, good or bad. But no matter what, right, it's not meant to be doing a lot. And sometimes, I bet, Becky, you do that with animals.
Yes, we definitely do that.
And so when those kids are coming in, you've got all these kids coming that now are falling in love with the animals, I bet now they begin to share with you things that they haven't been able to share with other people.
They definitely do. And the animals seem to be a medium for them to open up and relax and be able to maybe tell us things that they don't feel they can tell anyone else.
And so with that said, Angela, I'm asking, do you have a pet of some kind?
No, after my mother died, I moved into an apartment, so no pet, unfortunately.
Well, I have some suggestions. I don't know if a single apartment has a problem with fish. And I have enjoyed some fish in my days. Mm-hmm. Especially You know, no, I'm not going to say that. But I, but seriously, you know, there are some animals that might just give you some company, Angela, and you might start an aquarium, and who knows what may help. But mostly, I'm just grateful you called in today and you knew about the shepherds. God bless you. Thank you for calling in.
Well, I just want to wish you and all the Kingdom Pursuits listeners a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Angela.
And you're all a very special to me.
Same here. Same here. Thank you, Angela. God bless.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, Dan, as a Sunday school teacher, the mountain climbers, right? Yeah. I couldn't help but note your first chapter is about this woman who had the boldness, the courage to cry to the extent that tears literally rolled down her cheek onto the church house floor. And that set up the whole idea somehow for you to write this.
Yeah, you know, I spoke about our grief, the loss of a grandson, a mother, and a beloved pet, and that stirred me on the inside. And I'd never written a book before, so I didn't know exactly what to do, but I had a story to tell. And it was a story about God and how he showed up. But I didn't really know what I was doing, and I'd written about almost half the book, and I really didn't have a title for it. And on the last Sunday, you know, we built a new sanctuary at Oak Hills, and we'd been in a gymnasium style. A lot of people have a hard time believing Max Lucado preached in a gymnasium style auditorium. Well, he did for many years and was glad to do it. But we moved into a new sanctuary, and the last Sunday we were in our gymnasium style auditorium. At the end of our worship service, Max calls for the elders and their wives to come forward and the prayer partners, and we surround the congregation, and people can come forward for intercessory prayer. And so Nancy and I went down front, and this lady stepped out into the aisle, and you could see when she stepped out of the aisle that life had just drained all the joy out of her life. She just had a downcast look to her face. And she came down, and we asked how we could pray, and shortly stated her adult son had lost his way. And her bouncing baby boy was causing her a lot of heartache and grief. And we formed a triangle there and invited God to join our triangle, making it a holy triangle. And we prayed. And then we broke up, and we moved back. And I looked down on the church house floor, and there was well over a dozen big teardrops on the church house floor. And God's Holy Spirit poked me and said, "That's your title, son." You say, "Well, God's Spirit spoke to you? Did the lights dim or flicker or anything like that? I mean, was there thunder or was it a quiet, small voice that Elijah heard?" And I said, "No, it wasn't quite like that, but it was just the clearest thought you've ever had." And that's the way the Spirit speaks to me. He gave me a clear thought, and he sort of teed it up and said, that's the title of the book. And that's how the title
I know that anybody that's going to read this, I almost hate to ask the question I'm going to ask, but I was sitting there the whole time. I had one question as I was reading through the book. This one question kept coming through my mind. And I wonder if you set it up that way on purpose. We're going to find out when we come back. We're going to hear more from Bill, more from True Heart Farms. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And so neat that that's here available for you this Christmas season. Come sharing what God did through the animals. So much more. Kingdom Pursuits coming up. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And as I teased right at the end of the first segment, you know, as I was reading this story about the woman with the tears, you would have expected that there was this grandiose answer to these prayers coming somewhere in the book. But Dan, I didn't see it, or am I not a good reader? And I couldn't find it anywhere.
God does answer prayer.
Oh, no, I'm not saying he doesn't, but yeah. That, you know, when you realize that was the title maker of the book, and here was this prayer, and no doubt God answered her prayers in all sorts of different ways,
right,
but
right.
We don't see, is it in the book somewhere and I missed it?
No, not for that particular lady. I wouldn't know her, and I didn't know, never knew her name. I'm not sure I'd even recognize her again.
So for all you know, you prayed with an angel that was
You know, the Bible tells us some have entertained angels and didn't really know it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she was an angel or not, but she was very sincere and her tears were very real. And I'm sure God reached out to her in some special way that we'll never know about, perhaps.
There is a church. I'm trying to think of where it's at. It's a little bit north of Boone, North Carolina. It's called the Church of the Frescas. It's and there was a guy who studied in Italy how to make frescoes, and it's quite a story. It was actually in, I can't think of the name of the magazine that was all behind this. But this man was trying to find, he was trying to do a fresco of Mary. And his wife was pregnant at the time, but he didn't think that his wife had Mary's face. And so he was walking down the street, and this woman is coming, and it's like, man, that's Mary. And so he's like, would you mind standing there and let me sketch you? You know, and this is a little bitty town. I'm trying to think of the name of it, North Carolina, where this church is. And he sketches his face, and it's just like the most perfect Mary of all time. And then he says, oh, by the way, what's your name? And of course, it's Mary. Well, after he does the painting, you know, he begins to wonder, who is this woman? And this little bitty town in North Carolina, you know, we're town of 25 people, everybody should know Mary. Not. And the talk about this painting caused so many people to come to this town to see this church that he was commissioned to make a second church picture, which was John the Baptist. And the night he finished John the Baptist, a lightning struck outside the church, hitting one of the trees, and it cracked the head of John the Baptist. So when you see John the Baptist, here's Mary with his face in that. When you see John the Baptist, his head is cracked right across the neck.
Oh, my goodness.
Of course, you know what happened to John. Let's just say it.
Yeah.
So then he did this amazing fresco behind the altar. And the night that he finishes it, he looks up to just admire what he'd done, which is really a beautiful painting. And it says, you'll be surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And as he looks inside the clouds of his own painting, he didn't paint these faces in the clouds, but they're there. And so, if you're ever in that, it's north of Boone. It's called the Church of the Frescas. You got to check that out. But as you were talking about your lady, I couldn't help but think of, man. But also, speaking of a Christmas adventure, right? Mm-hmm. Who else was? Tell us about your barn and the manger, and you were sharing during the break.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Time.
Well, we were talking about, you know, when you clean your stable or you clean your barn, you're actually doing that where Jesus was born. And sometimes we get a little tired and a little grumpy about cleaning, but it just took me back to the fact that, wow, this is where, you know, the choice was for him to be born, was surrounded by animals in a stable. So that was really a nice little thought that came.
And you actually had a manger birth that you were talking about.
Yes. You want to talk about that, Becca? Well, let's see, how do I put this? Well, we've had many births at the farm. We've had goats and baby chicks and baby piglets and, you know, all sorts of things. So it always brings me back to that thought of, you know, birth is renewal and birth is a new beginning. And it's such a blessing to be a part of that.
And so mangers are a big part of that. Without food, you don't get, and he was, you know, the bread of life was, you know, there you go. And born in Bethlehem, right? The house
Absolutely.
Of bread. So it's all coming together.
All together.
Of course, there's one chapter in this book that I would love you to talk about. I couldn't help but notice that it says, hey, Bill.
Right. Well, Bill is he's a bagger at the HEB grocery store chain in Texas, a large grocery store chain. Bill's been with HEB for about 15 years.
For those just tuning in, Bill is his son. He's been with us during the whole show.
Right.
And so he's a bagger. Now, HEB is to us kind of like a food line, right?
Right. It's a large grocery store chain, very popular. And Bill's a bagger there, and he's very popular, as he pointed out, with the mountain climbers. But Bill and I walk around Bernie sometimes, and on the route around Bernie, it's a couple of miles, invariably somebody will holler, hey, Bill. They know Bill, and they look at me like, who are you? I said, well, I'm Bill's dad. You know, I'm not nearly as popular as Bill. But, you know, Nancy and I had been married 40 years, and we said when we got married, if this thing really works out, someday we'll walk down the beach and be gray-headed and, and we'll have grown closer to one another and closer to our God. Well, that day came, and she'd always wanted to go to Hawaii, so I said, okay, we'll go for our 40th, we'll go to Hawaii. So we did, and Bill went to spend some time with his brother in Silva, North Carolina. So that meant Bill had to travel from San Antonio to Atlanta Airport. You know, grown men have gone in the Atlanta Airport never to be seen again. And Bill has a tendency, he's got a PhD in slip sliding away. We've lost him all over the world. He slipped away from us. So we were really concerned a month or so going into this trip to Atlanta Airport. Nancy asked her ladies' Bible class to pray about it, and they did. And a special lady named Barbara Mooring said, oh, Nancy, don't worry. Somebody will see Bill. They'll take care of him. We just sort of let Barbara's comments pass us by. We didn't really realize that the saint of God was telling us what was fixing to happen. We get to the airport, and it's anxious time, and we're back and forth down the concourse. And we get to the southwest gate maybe 10 minutes before it's time to take off. I give Bill his ticket. And in the span of about 10 minutes, 9 people hollered, "Hey, Bill! Hey, Bill!" And one lady was a lady we went to our church. She said, look, I've got a 2-hour layover in Atlanta. I'll stay with Bill until his brother shows up. I called Nancy. They're going down the jetway. I said, you never believe what happened. 10% of the people on that airplane know Bill. Nancy's voice cracked. She said, isn't God good? I said, absolutely. And the story, and the point behind the story was all that time leading up to Bill's departure, people have been making plans to go all over the world, leaving out of San Antonio. And we had all this anxiety building in ourselves about Bill and how the transfer would be made. And that's the main thesis of the book, is that you cannot see what God is doing until you see what God has done. And in that moment, it became visible. All the time, God's hand was guiding people to be at Bill's side. And there was really no need to worry and have anxiety. We sent our prayers up, and faith always attracts God. And he answered in a special way. You can't see what he's doing until you see what he's done. So if you're praying and you don't think there's been an answer, you just haven't seen it yet. It's coming.
So, Bill, you knew all these people on the plane?
Yes, every one of them. And I see them quite often at the store about every day. The same people were on the airplane with me. Especially this one lady. I see her about every darn day.
What's her favorite grocery?
She likes to buy mostly wine and beer. Lots of wine and beer.
Well, I didn't see that one coming, but hey, you know, there you go. And she's right there. But nonetheless.
Yeah, she's right up there in the front. You can't miss her.
And she's saying, hey, Bill.
Yeah, hey, Bill. Yeah.
And so for you, I'm curious, all these friends that you have, what does that feel like to you? As far as your faith, you've been going to your dad's Sunday school. How do you view God, Bill?
It feels pretty good. It feels kind of warm and cool inside.
And so you've lived around this pretty much your whole life.
Yeah.
And did you see Jesus in that happening to you?
Yes, in many ways.
And I'm wondering too, Tanya, for you, you started this, you called True Heart Farms a ministry. Why do you call it that?
Because it's a great place for children and for animals. We are not a formal rescue, but we do take in animals that are considered not desirable. And we do take in horses that need a home. And we teach our kids that you can be really different, but be really cool. And that we're all different, and God loves all of us. And it's just a great place to just go and love.
You take in horses that other people are figuring are glue?
Yes. We just did that 2 weeks ago. We just took in a new horse. Her name's Beauty, and she's just awesome.
And wow. And so how many horses do you have like that?
We have 15 horses. Some of our horses are show horses. Many of them are rescues. Again, we're not a formal rescue, but we do take in animals.
And do you have one of these big, tall, black horses with the she was talking about?
No, we do not have a Friesian. We don't have a Friesian. And then we have a llama that was knock-kneed that wasn't desirable because he couldn't show. So we have a knock-kneed llama. And we have a horse with this missing an eye, and just different animals that need help.
That's beautiful. Well, you know, I am just thinking, wow, God, how cool is this that you saved this show from me on Christmas Eve, 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 that I would get a chance to hear about Becca's story, which is remarkable, a chance to hear from Bill, Tears on the Church House Floor. Again, you can find out about all these at kingdompursuits.com. Go to kingdompursuits.com, and you can order the book right there from Amazon, and then please go review it for them. It makes all the difference when people see those reviews, if you order it, or those people were sending out the books. We won four of them from the staff meeting. So, wow, we are so appreciative for you guys this Christmas that you listen to this show. And I would have to say, I would be remiss if I didn't say the masculine journey starts here now.